This podcast of Today FM Breakfast with Em, Grant and Ed is brought to you by the NAB app. Whether you're travelling, budgeting or online shopping, the NAB app has something for everyone. It's made for human.
Hello, podcast. Lots today. Lots.
Yes, heaps doing things. Wayne Brady came in and you guys just had a love bro game show fest.
You know, I got all tingly talking to him. We were talking game shows. Yeah. He's an absolute icon. Yeah. He still has a show. Good on him for that. But that was really nice. It was nice to connect.
It was good.
But we came out of the blocks pretty hard. Obviously, we had 13.5-inch penis guy to start the show.
Right. Yeah. And then we spoke about the guy with the... Yeah. And also we announced... Yeah. You guys, world famous rooftop, Backstreet Boys, huge.
Oh, yeah. Backstreet Boys massive. In Las Vegas. Keep it on Today FM to find out how you can get yourself on the standby list and then get yourself over to see the Backstreet Boys in Las Vegas.
This is true. Bye, podcasters.
What? See ya.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Right now, showtime. Are you ready? Are you ready for start time?
Let's find out. Ready,
set,
go.
Today FM Breakfast with M, Grant and Ed.
Good morning, Sydney. How are you? Good morning, Eduardo.
Hi, guys.
Good morning, Grant Denyer.
Little off mic, Ed, but great to see you.
Nice.
Hi, Em.
It's coming. He's a busy guy.
Boiled egg. I had a late boiled egg.
A little bit of a protein stash before the show.
Hey, mate.
Good man.
Hey, you're back, Grant. Yesterday there was a couple of... Get a little bit of a dad thing you had to go and do.
A drama.
Yeah, thanks for your concern yesterday. A little scary in the Denyer household. As you know, Sailor had a little bit of a fall about 2 days ago. She did a cartwheel that turned into an involuntary backflip and landed on her head. So she was showing some signs of concussion, and the hospital said that if she vomits at all, bring her straight back in, and that's exactly what she did. So we had to rush her down, and she's got some MRIs today, but she's a little groggy, but at least she knows where she is.
You tell her to never stop cartwheeling.
Oh, keep the dream alive.
Keep the dream alive. Just maybe no backflips.
She's just got it perfect now too. The cartwheels with the straight leg. She's been watching you online, I think.
Yeah. Well, mate, good to have you here, and I'm sure Sailor will be okay. It's a huge day today. We're giving away a holiday a day, and we're doing it before 7 today because we realised that the people were missing out, that were getting up early with us. Mm-hmm. So that's happening very soon.
Mm-hmm.
Also, Uber Air. Would you get into an Uber Air?
No, thank you, please.
No,
I won't even get into an Uber car, guys.
You don't either, do you?
Gateway Uber. And we have Grant for Gold, some stuff for you today, Grant Daniels, some secrets for you, which are going to be lovely.
Mm-hmm. Oh, God.
No, nice ones today.
Be good.
Oh, good.
And our Ask Me Anything before 7 o'clock is with a counter-terror detective that worked on Australia's largest anti-terrorism operation.
Yeah, really interesting chat. Also announcing world-famous rooftop artist and destination.
That's true.
Yeah.
Huge one.
That's big.
Really, we kind of know, and it's massive.
It's massive. Speaking of it's massive, up next, get ready to feel sorry for a man who has the world's largest penis.
Aww.
Yeah. No.
Aww. What's his number?
we'll talk about how we tried to contact him as well. Here's the headline. Man with world's biggest penis says 13.5-inch manhood has destroyed acting career but helped him bed Oscar winners.
Oh, every cloud.
Where do you start?
It's hard to feel sorry for him.
13.5 inches. What's the normal size? It's about half that.
Yeah. Yeah.
So how could it destroy his acting career?
Well, he says that it handicapped him because people wouldn't hire him. It relegates him to doing smaller parts. Maybe in the UK or Germany, it might help my acting career.
But having been on a number of film sets and made a couple of films, I'm trying to work out, in all honesty, I was trying to work out...
Did they measure your penis as soon as you walked in?
How would it ruin the day? And I was like, okay, there's two ways it could have done it.
Mm.
If he's walking in a scene...
Yeah.
And it's so large that it's in the friction in his pants is ruining the sound.
Yeah.
So you can't hear people. You can't hear anyone speaking because all you can hear is that as he walks around. Or
true.
Is it casting a shadow?
Yes, that's what I was thinking. A la John Hamm, who has a whole Instagram account dedicated to his bulge.
Yes,
and you can't wear a grey tracksuit pant, guys, because God help us all. The lead actress is everyone's distracted, the cameraman. Yeah, right.
I get it. So, oh, there's a boom shadow on sec. Oh, no, it's just Jonah. Yeah, sorry. That's yeah. Jonah, can you stand back, guys?
It's hard. Is he trying to get sympathy? Is that what this yes. is all about?
This is partly about sympathy. Okay. And I do. This is the bit I like where he says, speaking about his A-list conquests in the bedroom, Jonah added, yes, I've slept with celebrities, including Oscar nominees and Oscar winners, but I can't Ooh. Talk about that. So that leads you to the question where, you know, in Hollywood, deals are done at parties. So at a party, someone would have come up to him.
Yeah.
And or he's standing in a group and someone said, hey, this is Mira Sorvino. She won a Oscar for Everybody Says I Love You. Mm. And he says, hello, my name is Jonah. I've got the world's biggest penis.
And why wouldn't you be opening up? But yeah, he's bisexual too, so he's not saying if they're men or women that he slept with.
Oh, they'd be dead men.
But he did specify it wasn't Meryl Streep, yeah, which is my favourite.
Yeah. In case you're wondering. I feel sorry for him. I do feel sorry for
shut
him.
Shut up. What, because his penis is as tall as you?
No, I feel sorry. I feel sorry for his bruised ankles.
Oh, hey. Good.
It is. Anyways, spare a thought, but we did reach out. We did try and speak to him today. And we were told, and this is true, by our producers that he's unavailable because his job when he's not acting is that he's a professional gamer.
Oh, my God. This just gets better and better. This really? Porno just wrote itself.
Amazing.
I'm sorry.
He's the only guy that... Well, he's the only guy that can work two controllers at once.
Yeah. Exactly what I thought the porno should be.
Yeah.
It doesn't need to get up to change the television. Oh, that well, is superb.
Good luck with you, Jonah. We feel for you, buddy. We're really sorry.
You and your 13 and a half. Just whoa. Best of luck
yeah,
with that.
Good on you, mate. 131060. I reckon a few tradies would be able to contribute here. What have you got in your eye?
Oh.
two horrific stories have come to light, Grant. A drunk man. I'm so surprised he was drunk.
Yeah.
Nearly lost his eye after a panhandle got buried 4 inches deep in his face when he slipped in his kitchen.
Inches in. That's almost coming at the back.
Isn't it? That's almost world. That's half of the world's greatest penis in his head. God damn it. He's 64 years old. He is in Germany. So there you go.
Yes.
He stumbled, lost his balance, fell toward the counter where he pierced his eye socket with a looped metal. There is a picture. And let me, it is in there, you know.
Full on. And the x-ray is even more.
Look how close it is to his brain. Yeah, I know. So very, very close. But so amazing. Apparently they restored his
hair. He didn't lose eyesight or anything. That's crazy.
Yeah, this one's mad. So, okay, there's A.
Yeah.
That's exhibit A.
And 1060, what have you had stuck in your eye?
Imagine on work sites, people would have seen things as well. Or people, you know, we have a lot of shift workers who listen to it at this time.
Hospitals. Yes, if you work in emergency call.
Oh. Emergency confessional. That's so good.
That's the whole show.
Second today.
Yeah. And this is my worst nightmare, actually. Often, I don't know if Tiff does this or Shezzy does it. If you're driving, we might just quickly do our makeup in the mirror.
Oh, yeah.
Do a little bit of mascara, a little bit of eyeliner. A woman was doing a little bit of eyeliner. The car got into an accident and she shoved the eyeliner straight into her eye. Oh, my God. It was a minor traffic bump. She was using the eyeliner pen, sitting in a cab, and it came to a stop. And with the pencil still in her hand, she hit the front seat in front and stabbed herself in the face.
Bang.
And they saved her eye as well. It's unaffected.
I know. It's incredible.
I saw a woman the other day with a foot up on the windowsill while she was driving, stopped at the traffic lights, doing her toenails.
Oh!
Like painting them. Yeah.
All right. Well, that's another thing.
So
that's
gross.
Yeah, that's not good.
131060, what have you had stuck in your eye?
Or what have you seen?
Or what have you seen?
Stuck in someone else's eye.
The eye sticking world.
Yes, good.
Tell us, what have you
hanging out of your head?
What have you come into contact with? I'm going to throw some.
Have you sneezed too hard and your eyeball blew out? Like,
Does that happen?
That can
happen. Is that a real thing?
That's not real.
Like, have you ever tried to? I spent a lot of my youth trying to sneeze with my eyes open. You can't. You absolutely cannot. I was very stubborn, but you can't.
131060. What's been stuck in and around the eyes?
Yes.
I got my Taronga Zoo passes and my pancakes on the rocks over here. 131060.
Yep. Good.
What have you got stuck in your eye? Ooh. A woman in Thailand got an eyeliner pencil in the eye.
Rammed straight in.
And not to be outdone, a gentleman in Germany got a panhandle stuck very deep into his head via the eye. Both of them survived. Both of them got their site fine.
Fine. So, we've made our producers fold the pictures under too because they are so graphic.
Massive.
I don't even think Kieran can put them on our Instagram. Are you put them on? Nah. He's like looking at me going, I can't even deal with this myself.
Still trying to understand how you can get a panhandle in your eye socket. Like, how wrong is your night going?
It must have gone under the ball too. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's thick.
Yeah, it's gone behind the ball.
13, 10, 60, what'd you get stuck in your eye or what'd you see stuck in someone's eye?
Leanne from Mount Druitt, your son. Hi, Leanne.
Hi, how you going?
Yeah, going really well. What did you, this was only last night, what did your son get stuck?
A metal rod off the back of a toy car through his eye.
Leanne, how did he do that?
So him and his sister were wrestling on the lounge and his older sister pushed him off the lounge. And as he fell, the plastic wheel slid down the axle and the metal rod continued into his eye.
Is he okay?
Yeah, we're actually on our way to Westmead Children's Hospital just to have the surgeons look at it and stuff.
Oh, my God, you're on the way right now.
Oh, no.
Yes.
Leanne, you are an eyewitness reporter. Hey, Leanne, wish the little fella luck for us.
Yes.
And let's have some tickets to see Incredibles 2 for you and some tickets to go to Taronga Zoo for you when the boy gets his eye all better. You wish him, give him our best, okay?
I will. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Leanne.
Good luck today.
We're on our way to the hospital. The thing, is the car still sticking out of his head speak?
It would be. You leave it in, I would imagine.
Oh, doll, you poor little thing. We're thinking of you.
We are. Best of luck, little fella.
Yeah, okay.
Get all the M, Grant and Ed you've missed. Download and subscribe to the podcast now at todayfm.com.au.
The next in our Ask Me Anything series, and today it is counter-terror detective Peter Moroney, who quite literally wrote the book on terrorism in Australia, The Story of Operation Pendennis by Peter Moroney. It's available in bookstores now, and he joins us. Hello, Peter.
Good morning.
Hey, Peter. There's often a lot of criticism about the amount of money the Australian government is spending on counter-terrorism measures compared to what they say spending on cancer research. Do we need as much vigilance as we have? Like, are you fending off attacks more often than the public knows?
Yeah, whether we're fending off the attacks or foiling attacks that are in the infancy of their planning, absolutely. This is probably a sad thing to say, there's no shortage of people coming or stepping forward to want to do us harm, but that's just increased exponentially over the last 10 or so years.
Do you shield the public from just how bad it is, though? Like, would the average person be quite disturbed?
Yeah, look, we shield them probably from a point of view of an operational point of view of trying to prevent an attack occurring in the long term as opposed to protect them. But if need be, if something was that imminent, or needed to be, the public would certainly be advised.
Mm. I thank God for people like you because this is not something I really want to know about in my life. I'd rather almost be blind to this but know that there are people actually working on it behind the scenes, you know, like you and others. But what is the likelihood of another serious attack in Australia?
Oh, it's unknown, to be honest, Grant. It really is. It's look, if we look statistical-based, we've certainly, I think around since 2014, there's been around 14 disruptions. The numbers are increasing, which is significant and sad. But unfortunately, look, as we all know, the last 20 years has changed so much in terms of just society and terrorism as a whole. It's a never-ending race, to be honest.
And your book, Terrorism in Australia, the story of Operation Pendennis, focuses partly on 9 men in New South Wales and 12 men in Victoria, which are at the centre of Australia's largest counter-terrorism investigation. How far had those guys got? Had they actually got hold of weapons or bomb-making equipment?
Yeah, certainly. If we talk about the first ones in terms of New South Wales, those ones definitely had obtained a number of weapons. We knew that they'd had purchased probably around 15 to 20,000 rounds of ammunition that was suitable for an AK-47 style rifle. God. We knew that they'd stockpiled and purchased probably over 700 to 800 litres of different types of what we called common household chemicals. We knew Bunsen burners had been purchased, beacons, ice, air skis. In terms of the fear was that TATP, which is a common explosive, has to be kept at a certain degree. I think it's around 2 degrees because it's highly unstable. So certainly they had gone a long way to purchase the material that they needed.
They weren't mucking around. They were planning something terrible and big.
What was their plan?
The actual target, Grant, was never known. Even at trial, we never put forward what a nominated target was. In simple terms, we didn't know. But what we did know is what they'd set about doing, and particularly in the way they did. They went around purchasing the chemicals in false names, using false details, false credit cards, or obviously cash at the time.
How do you track these people from go to woe? So how are they brought to your attention initially? Are they, does someone simply dob them in, or they're already people of interest?
Yeah, I mean, it could be all of the above. It depends, and it really does change from individual to individual. So for argument's sake, with one of these guys, we would have started working on one through their association of another person we had at the time. And obviously, in terms of then following targeting them, the others then come into the frame.
Okay. And do you interrogate them, you personally?
Yeah, we interview them.
Does it lead to... Have you ever been involved in any, like, controversial, harsh interrogation techniques?
No, never.
Never?
Never.
Why are you winking at me, Pete?
At least good cop, bad cop?
Yeah. But when you get these guys in, I mean, I imagine that when you find out what they're planning, you must want to move at pace. You must get impatient, but I guess you have to wait to build the case.
Look, and it's, you hit the nail right on the head, particularly with Operation Pandanus, and particularly in its later time, we knew what had been purchased. We knew how it had been purchased. We knew they were running to what we call safe vehicles that we couldn't locate. We didn't have their safe house. We had all the indicators to say that they were progressing towards a manufacturing stage of explosives. They'd purchased tens of thousands of rounds of ammunition, but we didn't know where it was. And there was a fine line between keep on going and gather evidence or, you know, heaven forbid if we missed, we're going
to
miss.
We're talking to counter-terror detective Peter Moroney. His book, Terrorism in Australia, the story of Operation Pandanus, is out now.
Is it hard when you stop these members that you got, the 9 and the 12 in Victoria and New South Wales? Like, can you ever stop a cell, or do you find that just other family members can just jump in their place because of the radicalisation effect of entire families?
Grant, it's, look, in terms of Operation Pandanus, when we locked up the 9 here in Sydney, the very next day, the next morning, one of the covert vehicles we were looking for was found and firebombed. So clearly there's others that were with them at the time. And look, unfortunately, there was other people ready to jump into their shoes and kick on.
Peter, I mean, I have to ask you this question, and I know it's a tough one to answer. Do you believe a large terrorist attack is imminent for Australia?
Emmett, personally, look, I hope I'm wrong. I sincerely do. But look, I think that if you've got to look at statistical base, we've foiled a number of attempts since 2014. And I'm always reluctant to say, look, in my view, I think it is, unfortunately, just a matter of time. And that's not a defeatist view, because I think if we went it the other way and said, oh, it'll never happen, then we wouldn't be on vigilance, so to speak.
So are we ahead of the game or behind them?
You know, for me, we're ahead of the game at the moment, in the sense that, and certainly not to take anything away from Lint or the families that suffered through Lint, but in terms of what they've had overseas compared to what we've had here, we're being very fortunate. And again, just with absolute due respect to the Lint families. But it's just a race against time. And so far, we're ahead, thank goodness.
Well, Terrorism in Australia's story of Operation Pandanus by Peter Moroney, a counter-terrorism detective. Peter Moroney, thanks for giving us your story today.
Pleasure, guys. Thank you.
Thanks, Peter.
Great job.
Today FM's $100,000.
Beat the bomb.
Beat the bomb.
Today FM's $100,000. Beat the bomb. This morning we say hello to Chris from Penrith. Morning, Chris.
Hey, hey, guys. Hey, John.
Hey, Chris. What do you need? What do you want?
I'd love a couple of grand, to be honest, but
take your missus away on holiday. You're a good egg.
Good on you, Chris.
I try my best.
Mate, so you know how this works. Cash bomb's loaded. You got to yell stop and you'll reveal the last cash amount revealed. If the bomb goes off, then you do walk away empty-handed, which we hope doesn't happen. So that all makes sense. You ready to light that fuse?
Yeah, light it up.
Here we go, mate.
$300. $1,300. $1,500.
Stop.
$1,500, Chris. Well done, mate. Good job, buddy.
He's happy days.
You'll be able to take the mist away with that. That's, yeah, man, happy days. Well played. 1,500. Mate, we got to see how far you could have gone, though.
Oh, okay.
$1,900. $2,000. $2,500. $2,800.
It's okay.
That's all that happy days of $1,500. That's awesome.
Uber considers Sydney as test site for its Uber Air flying cars project.
Jetsons!
Uber executives are reportedly meeting with Australian politicians, transport authorities and property developers for its flying car project this week. Let's give you a couple of possible routes for Uber Air. Possible routes for Uber aircraft, saying that journey from Sydney's central coast to the CBD would take, wait for it, 10 minutes.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, if you want to get there
rather
at all.
Than the horror show that it is now. If you want to get there at all.
The problem is when you look at them, it sounds like a great idea, and I'm sure it'll be cost effective and the travel times are short. But the problem that I have with experimental aircraft is the term experimental.
and why are we the guinea pigs?
Yeah,
try
right.
out somewhere yeah. else, Uber.
There's a lot of fails that seem to that need to happen for something to be refined and perfected. I don't know if I really want to be falling from the sky.
I don't want the word trial near the word aerial taxi.
But at least if you've got a car that's broken down, you just pull over the side of the road. It's all good, man. It's okay.
Strap them from the sky, otherwise
can't
I'd
do that. Can't do that from up there.
So Sydney is set to double in the next 30 years in terms of population. And there are, geographical restraints, i.e. the water and the Blue Mountains. These are things that cannot be moved and you can't live it stops housing development. Would either of you, let's just say that it had been tested and it was all coolies and they were saying, right, Uber Air's now on and you had to get somewhere. Let's say you were going, right, from here where we are, World Square, you had to get to Parramatta Westfield and they're saying they've both got the little pad for it on top of the building, no problem. It's going to take, 6.5 minutes. Do you do it?
Yeah, probably. Let's be real.
I'd do that rather than risk Sydney traffic. It's probably more dangerous to be on the road, to be honest.
Are they pilotless?
Yeah, that's what I was wondering.
Now, there's two versions that I've seen.
So it's a drone?
Well, Uber has two versions that it's currently sort of testing. One is a sort of air bus in terms of there's six seats and there is a pilot in that because that's sort of a larger sort of helicopter version.
And about eight rotors I can see.
Yes. So, And then there's another version. Which seems to be projected just by the thoughts of the Uber executives alone because it's a single person craft. There is no driver.
That's the one.
Well, there's no one to give you any Mentos when you get in.
Exactly.
So that's my first problem.
And where's my water?
Or my bottle of water, my phone charger.
But you know what else? I'm thinking conspiracy theories, right? Oh, we're just going to send a little Uber to get the president because he's got to get somewhere and then Russia, let's just say for argument's sake.
Hacks it.
It's essentially a big drone with a human in it. Take him down.
That has happened in over the years that type of thing has happened.
Well, I'm obviously someone's going to
think of how slow driverless cars are progressing. Like, is this really going to be a reality?
No, we were promised. You used to watch Beyond 2000 in the 90s?
Yes, sure
We were promised drive flying cars in about 2001.
Yeah, that's true. The flying car thing has been the thing I love most about.
That's why it was called Beyond 2000. Yeah. Exactly.
How many
supposed
years?
To be the future.
How many years beyond though is what I want to know.
Do you remember the movie Total Recall? Remember the cabs were like hi, welcome to Johnny Cab. That was like a computer robot driven cabs, and that movie was like 1989.
The movies have lied to us, let's be real.
Yeah,
because honestly, 2018, what's the best thing we've got so far? Really, I mean, Shazam is my most impressive thing.
Yeah, I agree.
Cruise control.
Shazam blows my mind every time.
131060, how do you feel about being asked to pay for plastic bags, particularly at the supermarkets?
I mean, look, remember plastic bags only came in the 60s and people coped before then.
Yep. Yeah,
I remember my parents using paper bags and also string bags. My nana had a string bag. Remember those?
Yes.
But the thing is, we also didn't have, we had a quarter of the rubbish my house has. We have so much rubbish because we wrap things unnecessarily. Like you can now buy peeled oranges that are wrapped.
Yeah.
It's like, if only nature provided something.
Yeah, some sort of protection for these oranges.
I don't know how we've gotten by.
When you look at the numbers, though, it's pretty savage. 4 billion plastic bags are used in Australia every year. That's 10 million a day. Mm. So a lot of sea life, a lot of bird life gets killed because it makes its way. They reckon about 150 million of these bags end up in the ocean every year.
But some people have come forward and said that's only 1% of Australia's waste problem is plastic bags. And also, we all have the best of intentions. We all say we want to do the right thing. But then when you're at the register with screaming children and you're at the end of the day and it's witching hour and you got to go buy food, you don't want to be having your arms filled.
Or doing what I see some people doing, which is carrying the cardboard box.
Yes.
And they give you that look like, look at me. Hey? Look at me with my cardboard
look
box.
At me. I am superior.
Neela from Forest Way, what do you reckon?
I feel like there's a few things. Oh, good morning, guys. There's a few things that comes into play. I myself have two kids and have had that moment where everyone's just screaming and all you want to do is just get out of there. I think paying for it is an inconvenience, but I think that encourages you to want to buy the alternative so that you can do the good thing. So I think as long as the alternative is not too expensive in terms of paper bags or something like that, because being at some supermarkets where you have to have a cardboard box, it is sometimes annoying. But my issue is that the money that these corporations then make shouldn't just go to pocket them. I think it should be then used to invest into recycling or something like that.
Planet Ark,
That's interesting.
Yeah, if they're on board with reducing waste, like if that is what they are promising, then that is what they need to do. And that way we all feel like, yes, you've inconvenienced me, but I know that you're making a difference with my money or something like that.
Thank you, Neela.
I love that, Neela.
Really appreciate
the thoughts. 100%. If there was a big box there that you just put straight in and went to Planet Ark or any
some sort of environmental program.
And then you take your bag. Yeah, I agree. I think that's great.
Chantel from North Ryde, you want to paying for plastic bags? What do you think?
Look, I think that Woolies and Coles are taking the mickey out of us a little bit because they have done not much at all to actually minimise their own waste in store. Wrapping their own vegetables individually, all of that sort of stuff. And also, like, why can't they facilitate the cardboard box delivery thing instead of charging that much money per thing? Or provide paper bags, provide cloth bags, not more plastic. It's just replacing one devil with the other because at the end of the day, you are going to have people that, you know, the plastic bag's going to fly out the car. The 99-cent bag's going to end up in landfill anyway. It's just replacing one devil with the other. At least those plastic bags are going to go into the bin with people's rubbish at the end of the night and it's going to go where it's supposed to go. Yeah. I mean, there's so many other ways to minimise waste. Like, for starters, the whole minimalism thing, all of that sort of stuff, upcycling, accounts for more waste. So I think plastic bags aren't the devil that they're making it out to be as much. And biodegradable isn't actually that great.
Thank you, Captain Planet Chantel.
Bit of window dressing.
Love that.
Bianca from Fairfield.
Yeah, I think anybody that actually, like, doesn't believe in, like, you know, not getting rid of plastic bags is a bloody idiot. pretty much. Pretty much because we know it's all destroying the planet and it's not hard to get a bloody, like, fabric bag that you pay for once and it lasts for literally ever.
Yeah, but I could recommend the Ambrosiano tote. I sell tote bags, guys.
Are they cheap?
They're cheap. They're great. They've got my face on it. It actually looks a bit like pink. So really, it doesn't actually say my name. So
could be anyone.
I can offer that to anyone. But I love everyone's passion here.
Mate, this is this is big. And I would have to say it's pretty even.
Yeah.
Pretty even on the phone. About 60% saying that it's, you know, pretty fair enough. But we are getting a lot of calls saying, which I think is a good point, that this might be window dressing by the big food companies when there's other things that perhaps could be reducing their waste.
Yeah.
The only way to get even more M. Grant and Ed is to download and subscribe to the podcast. Head to todayfm.com.au.
Now, let's jump straight into the eels.
Survey says...
Ranch for the gold!
Grant Daniels Gold Logie campaign continues, Em. And yesterday you had some dad stuff you had to attend to, Grant. So in your absence, we got on Australia's most winningest person.
We sure did. Dawn Fraser.
Yes.
Oh, my Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Dawn Fraser came on and she's obviously won many gold medals. She had received the highest Order of Australia medal that you can receive.
Just this week, still winning at 80.
Still winning at 80.
Still winning at 80. And you know what? Right in your target demographic. 80 years of age.
Is that right? Well, yeah, well, Family Feud does cater to all markets, that's for sure, and demographics. Cater.
And let's
did cater. Ouch.
Ouch. I didn't even pull you up.
To think about Wayne Brady, at least he still has a bloody
show. Oh, you've got one. Come on now.
That's true. It's coming.
Let's have a listen to Dawn Fraser's thoughts on Grant Denyer.
I mean, I've watched Grant on television, and you know he's up against a lot of good entertainers on the television, but his show is very good and very popular, and he keeps everyone happy. I mean, there's always a laugh there, which is fantastic.
Well, you didn't have a heart to tell Dawny that he'd been arrested.
Good honour for getting on board, though.
Mm. Okay, it's not the only person who's on board, because the big names keep coming. Later in the show, Em and I were talking about people who've won things, and one of the biggest winners of all time, showbiz winners, just popped on to pump you up.
Get out.
Oh, look, don't expect to win, and you end up winning.
Good. That's a good life philosophy, Reggie.
Thank you, Reggie.
Expect nothing and then everything's a bonus.
Who you know that voice well, Grant.
Was that Reggie from Big Brother?
Yeah, it was.
Oh, my God. You have scoured the country for the biggest names in entertainment.
She honed us. She was a caller.
was she a random caller in?
She was a random caller.
Get out.
Yeah.
Are you for real?
Yeah, we love Reggie.
Oh, that
She's
is
big
the best.
Fan.
Yeah, big shout out to you, Reggie.
Yeah, Reggie. Phoned us. We did not do a stick of work there.
How's that?
That was a great, what a good pump up. Hope for nothing and just be surprised if it happens.
Yeah, great. Good great call. Attitude,
Now, you speak about your opponents. There's Jessica Murray, there's Tracy Grimshaw.
What an
actress.
There's Amanda. What a journo.
Stop it. Okay, you're not allowed to say positive sentences. Okay, say negative no ones. Go. And Tracy Grimshaw.
Oh, she's been on telly for a while now, getting a little tired.
Roger Corsa.
Yeah, no, not as good looking as he was.
Now we're getting somewhere.
Aren't we just?
Let me take the next one because Foxtel have their first ever nomination with Andrew Wintour.
Who has Foxtel?
Thank you.
Yes.
Are you serious? It like was 30% of the population at best and it's going backwards.
Ooh.
Ooh, my all right. Work here is done.
Are they a sponsor of ours?
Is pride the wrong emotion to be feeling right now?
Well, for those that...
Something's happening to me.
Good.
If you are thinking about voting for Andrew Wintour for the Gold Logie, maybe this pre-recorded package may change your mind.
Gold Logie nominee, Andrew Wintour. From Selling Houses Australia, that's on... Foxtel? Andrew's show, they sell houses. Take it away, Andrew.
I'll be invisible, mate. Can't you imagine what you could get up to being that?
You can't have a real estate agent win a Gold Logie. What next? Ray White gets an Academy Award? LJ Hooker gets a Grammy? Come on. Not when Grant Denyer is an Aussie farmer. The best type of farmer. A fake farmer.
I am the real deal. Farmer Denyer, or Farmer G as I like to call myself.
Andrew Wintour is from England. Do we really want Aussie Gold Logies getting in the hands of foreigners?
Never been to Japan. Want to go to Japan. Intend to in the next year or so.
If you love Japan so much, why don't you marry it, Andrew? Aussie hero, fake farmer, former weatherman Grant Denyer doesn't sell houses. He buys them so he can use them to grow marijuana inside. And if Andrew Wintour is selling houses, what else is he selling? Ivory? Bitcoin? Bitcoin ivory? Is there anything Andrew Wintour won't sell? Maybe his soul. Grant Denyer is the star of Family Feud, currently being rested, and the star of some new Channel 10 game show. No one knows what it is. We don't even know if it's a real show. While Andrew Wintour swans it up on Foxtel. So the choice is clear. Do you want a foreigner, possible ivory dealer? And he lives on the Gold Coast, I've heard. Specialist in lies. Damn lies. And Andrew Wintour, his voice sounds like he's a Game of Thrones character. And we all know what they get up to with their cousins and whatnot. Or Grant Denyer. Little Aussie Grant Denyer. With a show that's being, quote, rested. And he got kicked out of the casino. And he gets his wang out and spins it like a windmill any chance he gets. Do the right thing. Give the gold to a farmer. An Aussie farmer. An Aussie marijuana farmer. Grant Greenleaf Denyer.
Survey says.
Ranch for the gold.
The choice is clear, Australia. Do the right thing. Sorry, we're off the off-air.
Sorry.
No, that's okay.
Sorry, we're just talking musicals. You know, it's a passion of mine.
No, it is. M. Grant Ned, and joined in the studio by the fantastic Wayne Brady. Now, Wayne Brady Show, sir. Brady AF is playing. It's this Saturday at the Star in Sydney. Tickets are at ticketmaster.com.au. A CV as long as your arm. Whose line is it anyway? M, you were just talking with Wayne about
Kinky
that.
Boots.
Yeah. Kinky Boots playing Lola. I saw the gentleman. I don't know his name.
Callum Francis.
I saw him online.
Yeah.
And his Lola was so great. And I now know that he's over in London being one of the angels.
Yes, he is.
And it's such a small community of the guys that have done that role.
Like Lola.
Seeing the German. It's so weird to see a black dude in Germany going, "The sex is in the fashion team. Oh, you see, just whoa." But this guy was so good. So I just wanted to give him some love.
I'll tell him. He's a good mate of mine. I'll tell him. He'll love that you said that.
He was so good.
He is.
So good.
Someone else that needs some love is our co-host, Wayne Grant Denyer, because we know we call him TV's Grant Denyer, and I'm just looking at your...
TV's Grant Denyer.
Yeah.
I love that.
You're everything's Wayne Brady.
Yeah.
He's just TV's Grant Denyer.
No, but you know what? Good for him. It's so great to be called TV's Grant Denyer, because you could be called living in your mom's house, Grant
Denyer.
And he is not.
Well, yes,
so good for him.
It's so good to have you here. You're an absolute legend, and congratulations on... still having a show. Let's make a deal. That is amazing.
Because Grant
keep
show,
on, my friend. Keep on.
Family Feud after 1,400 episodes here in Australia. Grant, the term it's currently being
rested. Not cancelled. Just rested. It's so awesome here in this country. They needed to give it a break just to rest everyone's TV sets.
Is that
because just to let it cool? Let it cool down.
Too hot.
Too hot. Too hot. Too hot for TV.
Too hot for TV.
But you guys were talking off air about the term game show host. And you guys were sort of bonding over this because you've just won a Daytime Emmy for your work on Let's Make a Deal.
Yes, and you are nominated for, is it a Logie?
Yes. Yeah, that is correct. Thank you very much.
Oh, my God, I can't believe you said that.
So congratulations. I actually was going to try to... I got an email asking me if I would come present or something at it.
Oh,
And I was going to do it, but I realized that it's 4 days after the tour wraps, and I've got to get back to go back to work.
Gotcha.
But I absolutely would have done that. So, congrats to you.
Can I
thank
ask
you so much,
Wayne? Just quickly, I'm just having a look at the CV. How many times have you been nominated for a major award, so like an Emmy or a Grammy or a Tony or something like that? How many times have you been nominated?
Oh, I haven't been nominated for a Tony. That's actually my dream. That is the thing that when that happens, I think you'll see me be a quivering mess. Like there's no cool about it. I'll just be on stage. Yeah, my mama.
What if I told you that TV's Grant Denyer has been nominated 22 times for a Logie and never won?
I would say that it was a miscarriage of justice.
Thank you.
I would call him the Susan Lucci of Australian TV. I would say that I would raise Johnny Cochran from the dead to come back and defend the wrongs that were committed against him.
Thank you so much, Wayne.
That's perfect. What I'd say,
thank
sir.
You, sir. Perfect. This finally, though, the guy, is there a stigma around being called known as a game show host? Do you think?
In my mind, that's why when I was first asked to do Let's Make a Deal, I turned it down a few times. Mm. I'd already hosted a game show once. I hosted
Don't Forget the Lyrics.
Don't Forget the Lyrics, yes. But I didn't think of that as a game show because it was so tied to music. Mm. So I used it as a pedestal for my own music. I had a record out at the time, and so I thought of it. It's kind of like Jamie Foxx hosting the Shazam show right now.
Yeah.
Right.
Because it's cool because Jamie is such an amazing musician, and it's linked to music.
Yep.
But then when it came to, all right, tell him what he won, Bob. Yeah. And then I grew up watching Price is Right. Mm. And in my mind, it's like being a weatherman. And I'm not saying this to crap.
No,
but listen carefully.
He was a weatherman. TV's Grant Daniels.
TV's Grant Daniels. But even looking at Grant Daniels, I know that there is a cool version of that.
Yeah.
And I think it's the same thing with various news people and the same thing with morning radio.
Yes.
That I don't know why people settle for falling into what the stereotype and tropes of that job are.
Exactly.
As opposed to make it your own thing. Instead of going, hi, and now we're giving you just do the show the way that you would do it. I think it's way too comfortable and easy. So when I look at someone like Grant, I haven't seen you host, but even talking to you, I know that you weren't that guy.
Oh, wow. Thank you, man.
That is so cool.
And it's tricky. Same situation as you, as I said no to Family Feud first up as well, because I was afraid of that same connotation, you know, because game show hosts in my eye were very traditional and they were a bit guy-smiley, if you know what I mean. So, and then it wasn't until I thought, you know what, let's have a crack at it and make it your own. And then when you inject your own bit of personality into it, and then all of a sudden it doesn't start to become a television tradition being rerun, because our shows go back to the 1960s, don't forget.
Yes, sir.
You start to kind of reinvent it. So, I hear you, man.
I love that you said that. It's right. All about reinventing it and making your own. And now, I love Let's Make a Deal. And I love the fact that I'm able to... Let's Make a Deal basically is a sketch improv show that happens to give out prizes now. Because Jonathan and I, we do musical improv all day and sketches, and I'm doing characters, and then we happen to be doing the games that way.
That's so good.
You'll get to see the full range of Wayne Brady's immaculate talents. Brady AF, it's playing this Saturday at the Star in Sydney. Tickets available at ticketmaster.com.au. The double pass got snapped up extremely quickly. Wayne Brady. Lovely to see you.
Thank you so much.
Yay. Thank you. Amazing.
Thanks, Wayne.
It's so nice to meet you.
Get extra giggles when you download and subscribe to the podcast of M. Grant and Ed. Search Today FM Breakfast on your favourite podcast app or head to todayfm.com.au now. Forget the alphabet. We're all about Alpha Bucks.
8:10. Let's see if we can't give away $10,000, Grant Denyer.
Alison from Caringbah is on the line. Alison, are you ready to play Today FM's Alpha Bucks?
Ah, yes I am. Thank you.
That's good. We're going to try and help you out with a little bit of cash. I understand you got a bit of an event coming up.
I do. I've got a wedding on later this year, and I really would like to fly with the kids rather than drive up in Queensland.
Ooh. Yeah, you don't want to do that 9 hours with the kids. How many you got?
No.
How many kids have you got, Al?
I've got 2. They're 6 and 7.
That's enough.
All right. Yep. Here we go. Long trip.
30 seconds to answer 10 questions. All your answers must start with the letter N today. N for Nelly. For each question you get right, you'll score $100 with a chance to win up to $10,000. We must take the first answer. You can't use the same answer twice, and the adjudicator's word is final. Alison, your letter is N. Here we go.
Okay.
Name an R&B artist.
Nelly.
An app.
Netflix.
A food.
Nut.
An American state.
Nebraska.
A part of the body.
Neck.
Coffee brand.
Nescafe.
Fictional character.
Pass.
An airline.
Pass.
Spice.
Nutmeg.
A sport.
Netball.
Really good effort.
You were great.
Strong play, Alison.
That was great. 700. 700.
Oh, yes. Great job.
Awesome. Mm-hmm. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Mighty job. Might have helped you out with the first one just a little bit there with my example of an N. But anyway, done. Good pickup.
Love it. Thank you very much. There's my flight.
Yeah. Thank you, Alison.
What a happy ending.
Your chance to play this time again tomorrow. Time now for...
Guys. We've been teasing it all morning.
Mm-hmm.
It is happening right now in your ears. You are about to find out, with thanks to every sound effect Konski could find and put in one spot, who the artist on the world famous rooftop is and where. Hit play.
So, Sydney. You told us which superstars you wanted to see up close and live on our world famous rooftop.
Cool.
Y'all ready? Have a good time tonight.
You wanted Pink.
Thanks for coming to play with me.
Right, so my name's Ed.
You wanted Ed.
Oh, misty eye of the mountain below.
Done. And there's one band that's been at the top of your wish list. So, your wish is being granted. Let us set the scene. Cast your mind back to the 90s.
Yeah, baby.
Are you doing?
Oh!
Oh my god.
Back to your teenage bedroom.
You got mail.
But Dad, this is the best part.
So, guess who's back and ready to hit our world famous rooftop? Get ready for the Backstreet Boys.
My dad went back
The biggest selling boy band in the world are heading back on stage. The Backstreet Boys are well and truly back.
Baby, don't go.
Hi, Australia. We're the Backstreet Boys.
We're putting on one exclusive live show just for you guys, our Aussie fans, performing on the world famous rooftop right here in Vegas.
To celebrate the release of their brand new hit, Don't Go Breaking My Heart, we're packing up our world famous rooftop.
I want it.
And taking it all the way to Sin City. Win this and we'll fly you and your bestie all the way to Vegas, where you'll get to witness the Backstreet Boys at a one-off exclusive event.
Oh my God, you have no idea how much I want to go to this.
The tickets that would have reduced teenage you to tears are right here.
Oh my God!
Win your way to Vegas to see the Backstreet Boys live, up close and for free. Rooftop exclusive. Only from 104.1 Today FM.
Thank you so much.
Oh my God. People are losing their minds. This is huge, guys. Backstreet Boys on the world famous rooftop in Vegas, y'all.
No way.
Yes, way.
It's a big thing.
Thanks to the Backstreet Boys. They're back. That new single, Don't Go Breaking My Heart, which we are playing. You can listen or download it. Now, be listening all next week to us for your chance to win the trip to Las Vegas. Exclusive world famous rooftop with the Backstreet Boys. Hey, Cindy from Campbelltown, how do you feel about that?
Oh my God, I'm having a heart attack right now. I'm just freaking out.
Now, how much do you love the Backstreet Boys? Tell me how much. What have you got on your body?
I have Nick Carter's signature tattooed on my back.
Are you serious?
I am 100% serious. And I also have a tattoo on my arm that says my heart, my soul, my everything, which is a lyric in part of one of their songs.
Oh my God.
Wow, Cindy.
Yeah, dedication. So I'm a super fan.
You sound like it, Cindy. Well, don't worry, Cindy. You keep it locked to Today FM, yeah. And that's how you'll know how you get yourself there.
I just wondered, on 131060, I would like to throw out to everyone, we're going to do an Am I the Only One? And Ed, this is on you,
mm-hmm.
because you said something, Grant, you weren't here yesterday, but Ed said something casually offhand that all of us kind of snapped our heads around to in the office, and it was regarding his wedding video.
Yeah.
So what did you say?
Well, did you and Shezzy shoot a wedding video?
We didn't, no. We regret it. Because I spent my life on television, we thought, let's do this as the only non-broadcast thing that we've ever
right.
done.
I didn't either, but Ed, you did.
We had a videographer there making a wedding video, and then two versions were made. There is the long one, which has got basically all of it, which is around an hour, which mm-hmm. includes the reception and the speeches. Yeah. And then there's a cut-down 8-minute version. And I said, quite innocently, because we watch... My wife and I watch our wedding video once a month.
Wow!
No way!
Once a month?
Are you serious?
And I realised that because we'd missed it last month because the baby's taken over with sort of photos, etc.
Mm.
But what my wife will do is that she'll sort of look at me sideways and I'll think, yes, and then she'll bring a laptop over. She'll bring her laptop over and she'll plonk down... next to me, which means stop whatever you're doing. And she'll put the laptop so it's one half of it's on my leg and then with the other half's on her leg. And then she'll look at me and then I'll look at the screen and go, oh yeah, it's the wedding video. And then she'll just push play and then we watch it.
Once a month?
Yeah.
How long ago were you married?
4 years.
So you have watched your wedding video once a month,
a lot.
Every month for 4 years.
It's got
beautiful, man.
It's got more hits than Gangnam Style in our house. And
so the shortened version,
8 minutes.
It's got to be a track, like a music track over the top. Would be key.
No. It's got sort of production music, get sick of the song.
No,
yeah, good call.
It starts. I mean, I know the start backwards.
I was just going to say you could probably reenact it for us now, perfectly.
It starts with my wife in our wedding car with her veil, just as she arrives at the church, and she sort of waits.
You okay?
Oh my God, he's getting teary.
No, tell me what happens then.
Kieran, zoom on his face. He's getting tears.
Stop turning away from the microphone.
That is, you know what? That is lovely.
What happens then? So she waves.
Yeah, you guys.
Come on.
Look at him.
Oh my God,
he's taking him. Guys, whatever. He's catching his pearls.
And then
soccer, Germany, Sassanai, Russia. No one cares about the World Cup game one.
So
I love this about you, mate. I really love this about you.
Anyway, then it goes from there. goes from there.
Oh my God. You are so controlled. And when you mention, since you mention his wife, he loses all control. It's great.
Look at him. He's blinking profusely now. So what happens when he says, I now pronounce you man and wife?
Oh God, don't you get him going.
She and I do a fist bump that we, we both sort of cheer like we've won a sporting event.
So you two. Good.
Really?
Hashtag on brand.
We didn't know we were going to do. And the guy that was, the guy sang during our thing, you can see him laughing in the background and the priest sort of smiling.
Perfect.
So anyway, it doesn't matter. I don't think I'm the only one here.
I think you are the only one that has watched it 50 times since the wedding.
I think, I honestly think if people have a video.
Okay.
That they would watch it. Regularly.
Not as regular. My favorite fact was, didn't Tiff ask the person who was delivering Arnie to watch it? Was that the fact?
No. So she asked, we had a nice lady who comes and looks after Arnie for us sometimes.
The nanny.
Yeah, the nanny. Yeah. One day she said, oh, hang on. If you're going to be looking after Arnold, you need to watch this. And
context.
She thought it was going to be like a child CPR video. And she's like, no, I've done all my training. And she's like, no, it's not that. It's our wedding video.
Understand so the place of love this child came from.
Context. She said, it's all about context.
All right, let's do it. 13, 10, 60. Is that the only one that rewatches his wedding video over and over and over and over again?
Be honest.
Yes.
Don't lie and say, I don't care. Be honest. Okay. You watch your wedding once a month is not odd.
It's lovely.
So often.
It's lovely, but it's odd.
I don't.
It's lovely odds. Lod.
Here we go. Come on, phones. Let's get involved.
Two people.
Am I the only one?
Ed watches his wedding video once a month.
Yeah.
Flat out, sits down with his wife Tiff and reminisces about their day of days. He got emotional. Talking about her arriving with the veil being lifted. Oh, God, he's looking
And then she went to wave.
And your eyelids just started flapping up and down.
And he just threw it out in convo yesterday. And I was like, dude, that's not normal. He's like, yes, it is. No, it's not.
I figured with everybody now having everything on their phone and everything everywhere, that it's something that people would remind themselves of as often as they.
Yeah,
I just love that you guys, it's been 4 years and you're still going strong on the viewing.
Yeah.
That's incredible.
Yeah. I don't think I'm the only one. Come on. Well, who's on my side?
Yeah.
Sean from Lithgow. You've got a wedding video. How long have you been married?
Been married 7 years now and we've watched it twice.
Okay. Well, Sean, was that in the last month?
That's normal.
So you sat down obviously straight after to see what had gone on, right?
We had to wait for the video to come to us, and there was about a 2 month wait, and we watched it the first time, and then we watched it again about a year and a half ago, and I remember yelling at the screen, going, "Walk up and pick her up already!"
You were heckling your own wedding video, mate.
It's like watching the Titanic. You don't watch it twice because you know how it ends. The wedding video is exactly the same.
Did your wife? Can we get Shezzy on to see if she would like to compare your wedding to the Titanic?
Yeah. Unfortunately, she's unavailable.
She's in a life raft.
Wow, I'm texting her saying, "Don't answer the phone."
That was romantic.
Anita from Cherrybrook. Come on, Anita.
Hi.
How long have you been married?
16 years.
And how often do you watch the wedding video?
Well, in the first couple of maybe 10 years, we watched it like every month.
Thank you.
Then we've got 3 kids now, so we watch it every year on our wedding anniversary with the kids.
I love that.
That's good. That is good.
Perhaps you guys can wake up to that.
They're just obsessed.
They want to watch it.
My daughter especially loves the whole dress thing and the hair and makeup. She's only 8, so she's obsessed with it.
All right, Anita, how does it make you feel when you watch it?
I'm really critical, so even to this day, I'm like, oh my God, why did I have my hair that colour? Why did the hairdresser do it like that?
Anita.
Oh my God, look how I look in that photo. Husband loves it. Like, he tears up exactly like the guy on the show. Like, he just gets really emotional about it even to this day. He's just gorgeous. I love him.
What a wuss.
Good idea. Good for men to show their emotion.
That guy on this show is such a sweetheart.
Yeah, that guy on this show is one of my favourites.
He's all right.
What is his name? Yeah. Peter Moon?
Yes.
I love him.
Maddie in Windsor, hello.
Morning. I've never watched my video.
You've never watched it?
No. So we've been married for 4 years and our wedding video is on a Blu-ray and we don't own a Blu-ray player.
Come on, Maddie.
They're like 80 bucks. Even go if and we get did, one.
I thought people only got them done to watch with their kids. Like, I was there. I don't need to watch it. Who cares? Like, I'll watch it with my kids when they're old one day and they want to see it. It's not for us.
Good on you, Maddie. Mm.
Maddie, yep. by the time your kids grow up, there's not gonna be any such thing as a Blu-ray player. Like, what are you gonna do? You know what I mean? You gotta keep moving.
Yeah, you should get it converted.
By the time Tiff and I, if we're lucky enough to have, you know, got Arnold, if we have more kids, by the time they're old enough to watch it, we're all gonna have the chips implanted in our head. Yeah. So my wife's just gonna be able to push play whenever she wants, and we're all just gonna freeze.
Oh god, it's the wedding day again. Oh god. Yeah, I love it. 80% of callers have not watched it more than once or twice.
Do you know what, Sydney?
Oh, no, this guy?
Listen, guy.
Yes, guy.
I'm saying today, if you are married and you can dig it out, watch it. No, watch this. Watch it before the weekend and see what it does for your relationship over the next couple of days.
You're saying it makes you love them more, like it rekindles.
Well, it reminds you that at a point in time you did like them. Yeah. Which our producer Ali pointed out. Why would you want to look back and remember a time when you loved them?
Ali, that is grinchy.
That guy is right.
The more I hear about the Night of the Notables that you're doing. Honestly, I'm genuinely looking forward to when Arnold is in year six, if I get to go to something
you'll
like this.
You'll love it.
Because it sounds wonderful.
It is the most hectic thing I think I've ever attended. I walked in last night. There would have been over 60 stalls, all 12-year-old kids dressed up as a notable, as a leader that they admired. Mm-hmm. And as I walked in, there was Barack Obama, and this was this little skinny white kid he did have a big afro. And he was his own hair looked like an afro and donned an afro, so it was totally fine. And he loved it. And then I walked in to visit Odie first, of course, because she's my daughter. And her notable was Billie Jean King, the very famous tennis player and, of course, equal rights activist.
Oh, a good choice.
So Odie had a poster with fake tennis balls. Stick on a tennis ball if you believe in equal rights.
Oh, that's I'm looking at it
that's
now.
It's interactive. That's great.
Yeah, the photo's up on the Today FM Breakfast Instagram page.
Well, this is really comprehensive because you've got there's an iPad there with highlights of Billie Jean King.
That's the PowerPoint presentation.
Really good. And then there's a wooden tennis racket of the era.
Yes, yes.
Which is really good.
And to the right of it, she had her other iPad set up to play the actual Battle of the Sexes match that she played against Bobby Riggs, the very famous tennis match that she played and won.
Very famous, yes.
So all the kids had to you could ask them questions, but only questions that they gave you to ask them.
You couldn't
be getting willy-nilly on the questions.
And what were one of some of, let's say that you are Odie, what was one of the sanctioned questions about Billie Jean King?
Do you want to hear?
Oh, I'd love one.
Here we go.
What was Billie Jean King's most famous tennis match?
Battle of Sexes. It took place in 1973. She versus Bobby Riggs and bet him in straight sets. And Bobby Riggs claimed when he was 55 that he could beat any woman.
Why did Billie say it was so important to win Battle of the Sexes?
Because she thought that she didn't want all the women to be disappointed. She didn't want them to wait another 50 years for the pay to go up.
So why is she a leader?
Because she got equal pay in women's tennis.
Thank you, Billie Jean King.
You're welcome.
Nailed it. Nice one, Odie.
Good.
See, but the thing... So Odie was great. I'm in the clear. Yeah. Two stalls up is Genghis Khan. One. Genghis Khan. Weird. Genghis Khan number one. There were multiple Genghis Khans.
Notable. He was notable.
Well, can we talk about, he was the first Khan of the Mongol Empire and was responsible for the death of 40 million people.
Well, he would argue, if Genghis was here, he would argue that they were, quote, his enemies that were, quote, trying to hold the Mongol people down from their rightful lands.
Yeah,
that's what Genghis would argue.
And Genghis did argue that when I questioned him, when I said, why did you pick Genghis Khan? And he's like, oh, well, you know, he took the most land of any dictator and he had a really tough childhood, you know, like his father got poisoned and then he had to eat his half-brother. And I'm like, I feel like he missed some stuff.
Yeah.
And there were four Napoleons as well.
That's bizarre to me.
That's a lot of Napoleons.
I know. And one kid fired up and I'm like, oh, it's lucky you're short, you're a little and you're playing. Oh, mate, Napoleon wasn't even that short. It was propaganda from England. He was 5'4".
I agree. Like he was 169 centimetres tall.
No, that's 5'6". He was 5'4".
How tall are you?
Yeah, how tall are you?
165.
You're Napoleon height.
I'm shorter than Napoleon.
But the most disturbing stall was a kid that just sat there. He had a goatee, like, like a beard drawn on, and all he had on the table was a fake gun and a bag. He was a sniper. Oh, he was Chris Evans, American sniper.
But
there was no explanation. He was just sitting there looking shady AF in the corner, right? Didn't even say who he was. I just walked over. It was terrifying.
And was he there in case Genghis got out of control?
I feel like he was. And the best one, though, the best one was a kid who had some Richmond guy. I didn't even go and look. And clearly he got really cross at people asking if he barracked for Richmond. So he made himself a sign written in blood, I'm fairly sure. I do not barrack for Richmond. Do not ask me that question.
He's so wonderful.
It was a fabulous night. Well done to all. And the Genghis Khan situation just was so amusing and terrifying all at once.
Do you reckon next year people will just be going as their Fortnite character?
That's their Fortnite avatar.
Yeah, exactly.
This podcast of Today FM Breakfast with M, Grant and Ed is brought to you by the NAB app. Whether you're travelling, budgeting or online shopping, the NAB app has something for everyone. It's made for human.